Matthew chapter 10, verse number, we'll just start in for time's sake, save a little time here, start in verse 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall have a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall have a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You know, receiving one another, he's talking about the body of Christ, receiving one another, the people of God receiving one another, and then also the body of Christ receiving ministers. He mentioned in verse 41, ministers, the ministry office of the prophet, and so forth. But there's a blessing in receiving one another. I know many of the blessings I have in my life, they came from God, and I give God the glory, but they came through a vessel. Somebody that was sent into my life that I, when I recognized that God was sending them into my life, I received them. I'm talking about not only ministers, but the people, the body of Christ that as, you know, as a whole. Amen. Sometimes people kind of get, because of an unrenewed mind, they kind of get to the place in their thinking, well, I don't need anybody else, and I just need Jesus, you know. Well, if that's true, then what's all the rest of us doing here? Amen. We need one another. The Bible said the foot can't say to the hand and the eye to the, I don't remember all the body parts, but we can't say to one another, we have no need of one another. We need one another. That's a reality that sometimes we forget. But we're not called to just do it all ourselves or make it on our own, you know, without the fellowship of others in the body of Christ. We need the body of Christ. And the body of Christ gathers in local churches, so we need the local church. And so he mentions here, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall have a prophet's reward. So there's rewards for receiving ministry gifts. Well, we're getting ready to go into camp meeting, and we're having guest ministers come as ministry gifts. And so let's look a little bit on how to draw these ministry gifts out. Would it be all right if I just be kind of run ahead of camp meeting and kind of help prepare us for camp meeting this morning? How to draw these ministry gifts out, because it's no use them coming and not getting out what they have in them. We want it. We want what they have on the inside. We want, it's not them we want. We want what the treasures of God that are on the inside of them. The Bible talks about each one of us has a treasure in our earthen vessel. And these ministry gifts are certainly just that. They're gifts. And they are treasures. And so we want to receive what God has for us. And that means we have to receive the ministry gifts, the ministry offices. The individuals, yes, but the gift that's in them, mostly the gift that's in them. And so Matthew 10, 40 and 40, really 40 and 41, actually, and 42, are very applicable to camp meeting. And, you know, because, and especially the part here where it talks about he that receives a prophet shall have a prophet's reward. It's very applicable to camp meeting. Amen. And I'll let you figure out what that means. But camp meeting is ministry gifts coming, and we want to receive what those gifts have for us. Can you say amen? Amen. And now he said here in verse 41, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Then he mentions, so that's number one, prophets. Then he said in verse 41, a righteous man. Then he said, give, verse 42, whoever shall give to drink, one of these little ones. So you've got prophets, righteous men, and little ones. Little ones would just be a child that is walking in the light they have with God, you know. I mean, I hear some of you parents talk about your kids and their prayer life. I mean, it's amazing. And so, but he that receives, by the way, you know, let me say this. You know, some of you that are working in children's church, you know, we start seeing the fruit of what you're putting into them as they come into adults. But that's not all. Just, you know, pastor was sowing the word into them. That's you sowing the word into them. We're all laboring. Children's church workers, youth workers, Air Force, all these groups. You know, next level. Amen. Yeah, some of it, we've got people helping us. And so, you know, whenever they go out and fulfill, they walk with God for the rest of their life and fulfill God's plan, be an asset to the body of Christ, contributing to the work of God. Well, guess what? That gets checked onto your account. Amen. Praise the Lord. I say that because Tracy told me whenever we were talking about the youth camp and some of the fruit, she said, you know, I remember whenever they were in the kids' classes, you know, and I said, that's right, you get credit for it too, you know. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. So, Tracy feels better now that I said that. Oh, there you are. Oh, well, I wasn't taking it that way. But here's the point. Now, we've got prophets, we've got righteous men and little ones. And there's a blessing in receiving all of them. You remember Jesus said it's better for you to have a millstone put around your neck and drown in the sea than offend a little one. Offend a little one means do something to turn them away from walking with God. Amen. So, but anyway, I wanted you to see the three different categories here. And what the Lord showed me a number of years ago was interesting. I never had thought about it. There's a reward for receiving each one of them. But sometimes it could be, let's just take verse 41. There's two categories there, the prophet and the righteous man. Sometimes that whenever he says there's a reward for the receiving a prophet, and there's a reward for receiving a righteous man, he implies there's a different reward, but there's a reward for each one. But sometimes I think we think that's two different people whenever it could actually be the same person there in verse 41. In other words, Pastor Nancy's coming. We'll just use her as an illustration as for what we're teaching this morning because she's the main one I'm preparing you for. But Pastor Nancy's coming and she stands in the office of prophet as well as teacher. Now, somebody says she's a pastor. We call her pastor. Well, she was a pastor of a local church, and she still sort of oversees all that ministry, but she's not actually the main pastor there right now. And somebody said, why do you keep calling her pastor? Well, I asked the Lord that. I said, well, she's not in the office of the pastor anymore. You know, do I still call her pastor? He said, she's your pastor. Yeah. Yeah. I said, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Well, duh. You ever had a duh moment?
Yes, sir.
And I asked her about it. In fact, I told her what the Lord said. She said, yeah, that's right. I said, well, praise the Lord. I feel better now. But see, she's really a prophet and a teacher. God has moved her into the next phase of her ministry to the larger body of Christ. And she teaches there at the church some. But I'll be honest, what she's doing there is producing television programs. That's why she's teaching there. Not because she's the pastor. You understand? But she's really, why am I going over this? Because we want to receive her in the offices she stands in. And although she's a righteous woman, as well as these other things, yet we don't want to just get the lowest. We want to get the highest. And in getting the highest, we'll get all of them, get the lowest. Amen. So to receive means to... I think I can pull it up real quick. I looked this up real quick to get a better definition of receive, and there's a lot we could say. But let me just real quickly. It says here in this Greek help, of things offered when it comes to teaching and instruction, to receive favorably means to give ear to it, embrace, and make one's own. Not reject. To give ear to what the Spirit is saying through them, embrace it, make it our own, not reject it, but take it as the Word of God to us.
Amen.
And not only what they're saying, but receive the anointing on their lives. And we're going to talk a little about what all that is and the ministry of a prophet, because that's what I want to focus on here this morning. The Lord put this in my heart yesterday. I'm like, well, okay, we'll go this direction. Then I didn't think about it. But Pastor Nancy stands in both of those offices. A prophet and a teacher. Now, when you say prophet, people get wild hairs and things go crazy and people get funny ideas because they've come out of all sort of backgrounds and all sort of ideas about the prophet's office. Let me just say this. The prophets, the main ministry of a prophet is not to go around prophesying to everybody. The main ministry of a prophet is, first of all, they're a teacher and or a preacher of the Word of God. But the prophet speaks by revelation. And it's a little different than the teacher's office. If you've ever been an example of what I'm talking about, if you've ever been around Brother Hagin's ministry, his ministry had more punch. He was a teacher. He was a prophet and a teacher, Brother Hagin. Actually, he was an apostle as well. People don't recognize that. But he was a prophet and a teacher. We're talking about those two this morning because Pastor Nancy stands in those two. And what he would do is he would teach, but he would teach through the prophet's office. In other words, it had more unction, it had more punch. It went deeper into your spirit. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? People would say that to Brother Hagin sometimes. They'd say, you know, well, when you teach, it seems there's a different anointing besides just the teaching anointing. And he'd say very often, because I teach through the prophet's office. In other words, I teach by inspiration of the Spirit. You understand what that means? I teach by the leading of the Holy Ghost. And so when a person's just strictly a teacher, they teach under the anointing of the teacher based on their study of the Word. And they prepare themselves in the Word. But the prophet teaches, if they have a teaching gift. Now, Dr. Dufresne was a prophet, and he had a teaching gift, but it wasn't as strong as Pastor Nancy's teaching gift. That's not to criticize him. That's just people, you know, we're all different. And so, but Pastor Nancy's teaching gift is a stronger teaching gift, but Dr. Dufresne had a teaching gift, but it wasn't as strong as Pastor Nancy's teaching gift. Am I making any sense? And so when she teaches, it comes through the prophet's office, and it has more punch than just a straight teacher would. Can I just share some things I've never really gotten out much? So when a prophet communicates to the body of Christ his message, he's saying something that he received oftentimes directly from the Spirit of God. A teacher addresses the church more on the basis of their study of the Word. You understand? And so the prophet's teaching ministry is marked more by inspiration, revelation at the spur of the moment. You know what I mean by the revelation of the spur of the moment? At the spur of the moment, something comes to them and they speak it out by inspiration. Amen. And so that marks more of their ministry. And the prophet's teaching ministry has an element of impartation to it. Amen. More than the teacher does. He makes truth impartations more than just gives information. He or she, you understand what I mean, he. The word goes further into a man's spirit and heart because of a greater anointing. Amen. Tell me I'm preaching all right. They'll preach more by inspiration of the Spirit, and that gives it, that makes it go in deeper. It lands in you with a greater punch. It just goes, the understanding of it comes real clear and goes deep into your heart. Amen? Amen. Now, when a teacher prepares himself to minister, God talks to him as a teacher. And when a prophet prepares himself to minister, God talks to them as a prophet. A teacher prepares themselves to minister by preparing themselves in the Word, and his preparation involves more of his mind than the prophet. The prophet's preparation is preparing himself to stand in that office of the prophet, and the preparation is more a preparation of heart. Amen. You understand what I mean by that? It's not as much as a preparation of the mind, although every one of us need to renew our mind to the Word. Amen. A teacher may know every point he's going to make, and he has it laid out, and he's prepared ahead of time, but the prophet may go in a direction he didn't prepare to go. and end up in a totally different area than where they planned to talk about. You understand? Because they're teaching more by inspiration, and they're more sensitive to the needs of the congregation, and the Spirit of God will lead them in certain directions in order to meet those needs. Y'all there? And so whenever a prophet stands up to speak, he speaks more by the impulse of a sudden inspiration. Hallelujah. That's what we want to pull on. That's why I'm sharing it. We want to pull on this. I want to hear over and over again. I don't know why I'm going this direction, but. Or if it's not actually said, that's what's going on the inside of them, that I didn't prepare to go this direction. Because of what we need. There's things, the things that the Spirit of God is bringing it, the awareness of what the needs in the congregation are coming to their spirit, and they're being drawn over in this direction. Amen. I mean, a prophet has more of a word in season kind of ministry. He speaks the mind of the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying, and more than just something he studied out of the Word. Now, I'm not minimizing the Word, because every one of us are to teach and preach the Word. But, the prophet, he does it more by inspiration. Praise the Lord. Prophets have a hard time doing series. Now, I'll qualify that a little bit, because prophets, like pastors or maybe teachers, their main ministry is in a local church. However, the prophet's ministry is more to the body of Christ at large. So when I say they have trouble doing series, they'll emphasize, they're more of a, the pastor is more of like a general practitioner kind of, doctors, some of them are just sort of general practitioners, but then there are specialists. Like if you go visit a doctor, he might send you to a specialist of some kind, a foot specialist or a eye and ear specialist or something, because they specialize in that area. Well, the pastor is more like a general practitioner, and his main ministry is to the local flock. A prophet, they're more of a specialist. They're sent with a message to the larger body of Christ. And so they'll go over that message over and over again. So I don't mean that they have a hard time doing a series in that sense. But they can't just flop around and do series on all different kinds of things, raising children and all kinds of things. That's more of the pastor's ministry. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Well, so we're saying all these things so we can pull on what the Spirit wants to do in these meetings. We need to understand these offices. One way to get the most out of them is to understand them. So, prophets speak to the body of Christ at large, and they speak the mind of the Spirit in general. Or they'll prophesy by inspiration of the Spirit concerning the plans and purposes of God and the era and what direction we're to be going. Amen. You understand?
Yes, sir.
And their ministry is marked more by revelation gifts. They're seeing. The prophet in the Old Testament was called a seer. And they would see and know things supernaturally. Now, you understand the prophet's ministry in the New Testament is different than the Old Testament, but the seer part is still part of the prophet's ministry in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophet would direct people's lives. That's not for us in the New Testament. We all have the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And they may confirm something we already have in our spirit, but we shouldn't just take what somebody prophesies and say, well, they prophesied, so I'm going to, that should be bearing witness with our own spirit. And if it doesn't, at least, at the very minimum, put it on the shelf. And if God wants to talk to you about it more later, he will. But, understand what I'm talking about. The reason that the prophets in the Old Testament would guide people's lives is because not everybody had the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we all have the Holy Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that to guide all of us individually. You don't need somebody to prophesy to you and tell you something that you need to do. What about what's your own spirit telling you? Of course, number one, it's all in line with the Word. However, that being said, there is a role that the prophets have in the body of Christ. According to 1 Corinthians 12, there are differences of gifts, diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities or differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God. Notice differences of gifts, diversities of administrations, and differences of operations. Amen. Gifts are by the Spirit. Ministries or administrations by the Lord Jesus. And operations are God. God's in control of the operations. Jesus is in control of the ministries. And the Holy Spirit's in control of the gifts. Yeah. Now I'm quoting 1 Corinthians 12 verses 1 through 6 down and through there. I'm just going over it real quickly. I think most of us understand this. But Jesus is the head of the church. And he's in charge of the ministry gifts. And so he's distributing spiritual food through the ministry gifts, and he's directing the ministry gifts to speak into the body of Christ, whether it be a pastor to speak into a local church, or whether it be these other offices to speak into the body of Christ at large. Right. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, we're getting somewhere. Hold on. Now, whenever God visits the prophet and gives him the message for the hour, a word in season, many times that message is an administration. In other words, God's endeavoring through the prophet's office, the apostle does this as well, he's endeavoring to administrate the affairs of the church, not to the individual as much as the body of Christ as at large, and he says, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying. Yeah. The prophet is more sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And he speaks under inspiration. He speaks for God. The word prophesy means to speak for another. When a prophet gets up and begins to speak by inspiration of the Spirit, he's speaking for God. Now, that doesn't mean that everything a prophet says is infallible, because it's coming through an imperfect vessel, and human beings can miss it. But you understand what I'm talking about. Because everything needs to be judged. The Bible talks about 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Actually, chapter number, 14. It talks about let the prophets prophesy and let the others judge. So these things are to be judged. Number one, they're to be judged in line with the Word. Number two, they're to be judged by the Holy Spirit. They're to be judged. They're not equal to Scripture. Amen. Amen. Tell me I'm preaching all right. I mean, we got to examine everything in the light of Scripture. But we have to realize there are things in the Scriptures we're not seeing. Let me give you an illustration. And prophets many times will be caught up in the Spirit. You have visitations in the Spirit. Either Jesus will appear or a message will be given somehow to where the revelation comes of what the Spirit is trying to get across to the body of Christ in that hour to administrate to the church. Say, we need to go this direction. Let me give you an illustration. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, he said, I knew a man, whether into the body, out of the body, above 14 years ago. He said, I don't know. I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. He said, I was caught up to the third heaven and I received revelation. Paul spent his life as a prophet and as apostle preaching that revelation called in Christ realities everywhere he went. We're crucified with Christ. We're raised with him. Amen. We're seated with him. All the in Christ realities. His epistles are just wonderful. Wonderful. And he brought that revelation to the body of Christ. Now, Peter himself did not understand all that Paul was preaching. But he received Paul and he said, I know that it's God. He said, some things are hard to understand that Paul's preaching, because he himself, Paul's revelation went beyond what Peter had. The in Christ realities. You look through Peter's writings, he had a little bit of the revelation, but not near what Paul had. That doesn't make it less Scripture. The Scripture less. I'm just simply saying that the Scriptures are, the revelation in the Scripture is progressive. And anything that comes out today will be built on those Scriptures, not take away from them, not move away from them. But there's things in those Scriptures which we're not seeing. Let me give you a modern day illustration. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and started teaching him. He said, I want to start beginning to teach you about devils, demons, and evil spirits. And he gave him the revelation in that visitation of the authority of the believer, which the body of Christ didn't have a clue about before that. But it was there in the Scriptures the whole time. And it's so clear to me now. The authority we have over the enemy. Remember, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. All these scriptures. Remember, Jesus raised us far above all principality and power, might and dominion. Put them all under our feet. Gave Jesus to be the head. We're the body and feet are in the body, and so they're under our feet. That revelation is in the Romans 5:17. They that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And it's just so clear now. But it was there before the revelation came to Brother Hagin in the visitation, operating in the prophet's office.
Yes, sir.
You getting that?
Yes, sir.
But we didn't see it.
Right.
So God sent him to preach it.
Yes, sir.
That revelation came from the head of the church to bring the body of Christ into something that was in the Word the whole time, but we didn't see it. We've got to be open to that. Every denomination stopped at their first revelation, and that's why they're not up to speed with what God's doing today. Listen to me very carefully. In the 70s and in the 80s, it was this charismatic revival, 60s, 70s, 80s, man, mostly in the 70s, real strong, and then over into the 80s. The charismatic revival was on real strong, and it was emphasized big time. In fact, go over to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This was emphasized big time. And you don't hear it emphasized today. But I'm going to start talking about it more because the Lord's been talking to me about it. It says here in the fourth chapter, verse 11, God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers. But notice there's five different ministry offices listed there. Notice verse 12, for, this is what they're for. This is what they're set in the church for. This is what they're given to the body of Christ for. For the perfecting of the saints. Tell your neighbor, for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. He said it twice there. Perfect means mature. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Oh, Jesus. A vast majority of the body of Christ are still infants. Saved, but babies. Kicked from pillar to post. That we be no more children, tossed to and fro. Tossed to and fro. I see so much of that in the church world today. To and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking, there's so much here I'm passing over just to get what God put in my heart. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. Tell your neighbor that's God's plan for the body of Christ, is that she grows up. Amen. Remember Paul said, talking about over there in 1 Timothy, I believe, God would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That's how you grow up. Come into the knowledge of the truth. Come on in, out. Come out of infant, come out of babyhood and come over and grow up. Spirit of Faith Family Church is a grow-up church.
Amen.
We receive babies, but we grow babies up. Nothing wrong with being a child spiritually, no more than being a child naturally. I mean, that's how we all got here, is being a child, right? But there's something wrong with staying a child. So that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. Notice all things. All things, not just our favorite parts, but all things. Amen. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together by that which every joint supplieth, according to the work, effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, how much time you got this morning? Prophet's office is one of the fivefold ministry offices, one of the fivefold ministry gifts set in the church to edify, to build up, and to grow up the body of Christ. Yeah, amen? If you're with me, I'm getting somewhere. The great error in many church circles today, Are you with me? The reason they're going the direction they're going, primarily, listen very carefully, because the Lord's been dealing with me about this, is because they are only receiving certain of the fivefold ministry offices. You look at church history, almost always church history has received the received the pastor and teacher and usually the evangelist. But you go through church history, the prophet and the apostle were very often not received. That's where error comes in, wrong doctrine comes in, things get off, and it's happening in our world out there, the church, the body of Christ today. Because of not receiving these two higher offices. Listen to me very carefully, because they're speaking what the Spirit is saying to the church today. They're speaking the mind of the Spirit concerning this era. Are you with me? And so because when groups get off, they always shut off the prophet's office. Always. Always. And there's groups doing it today. I have a prophet friend, stands in the office of a prophet, delivered a message to a group that they said, well, you know, that's okay, brother. And they had, listen, they turned away. And they do not have, you examine the speaker lineup and all their meetings, they don't have a prophet on the platform. That's why they're going the direction they're going. That's why they're losing the anointing. That's why they're getting off. That's why they're losing out on with the blessings of God. Every denomination went that way. Every one of them. Listen to me very carefully. Every one of them. Eventually, they all turned out the prophets. And the apostle. But I'm talking about the prophets today. Spirit of Faith Family Church will never do that. Never, never, never do that. Pastor Debbie and I have been connected from the beginning of our walk with God. We were both of us were saved at a younger age, and then, well, especially me, she got saved and then sort of backslid a little bit and then got back with God. We both did that. I'm not picking on her. We both did that. But I'm saying we got saved and then we didn't know much and didn't grow at all for a while. And then we really got serious and started growing. As soon as we really got serious, both of us, as soon as we really got serious, God instantly connected us with the leading prophets of the land. And we have been connected to that ever since. We receive the office of the prophet. Changed our lives. We have the reward of that, which many ministers today are starting to lose out on, to be honest with you. I explained some things to some friends the other couple months ago. They sort of were, I hadn't had as much fellowship with them, there's no reason on purpose that we had lost fellowship. It's just that God said to me, whenever he said to me what he said about connecting with Dr. Dufresne, he said, there, you obeyed me, it's going to save your life. Well, that's a big deal. My life, saving my life is a big deal. sort of, maybe. It's going to save your life. Well, because of emphasis, obeying the Spirit, said your supply has switched to California, and I knew that was the Dufresne and so forth. But obeying the Spirit, I didn't have as much fellowship with other ministry circles, although I received them and loved them and everything and so forth. But I didn't have as much, and then I got back and had a chance to be in fellowship with them again. And they sort of looked at me like, you left us. I said, let me explain what happened. I didn't really leave you. I love you, and I'm still, and I still text them. I reach out to them and everything. But I said, I had to obey the Spirit.
Amen.
He said, to connect up, and he said, that's where you're to emphasize your main supply is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why when people walk into this church, they always say there's something different about this. The anointing is different here. It doesn't have a cap on it like some other places. You still out there? You're going home. But this ministry will never do that. Never. Never. We'll never do that for the rest of our days. That doesn't mean we just receive everybody that calls himself a prophet. I want to know who's your spiritual daddy if you're a prophet. Who's speaking into your life? Because if you're called to that office, you need somebody in that office bringing you up. And if your spiritual daddy isn't, if you're really called to the office of the prophet and your spiritual daddy is not a prophet, then you will never go beyond where that ministry you're connected with goes, because if your office is called higher than what they stand in, then you're going to have to pass them up in order to, and that probably won't happen. I've never shared some of these things. There's a lot of things. Hello. That doesn't mean everybody that has a spiritual father has to be a prophet. That's not what I said. I'm saying if that's what you're called to. Amen. A vast majority of the, if you're called to the office of the prophet and the old man over you, your spiritual father, doesn't stand in that same office, something's going to be deficient. Because he can't bring you up in that office. Are you out there? Some people have criticized us because we're not as connected to a camp we were once connected with. That's why. If you don't understand anything else, get that this morning. That's why. The Lord spoke to me and he said the main thing, whenever you connect with a ministry, where your main feeding is whether they receive the highest office on your life or not. He said, you'll never fulfill it in certain camps because they do not receive it. That's why. People get all fuzzy about being loyal and so forth. I'm loyal to the leading of God and the leading of the Spirit, and I'm loyal to the man that God brought me up under, Brother Hagin's ministry and Brother Dr. Dufresne's ministry and Pastor Nancy's ministry. I'm loyal to that. Young whippersnappers don't understand loyalty today. And they that's why a lot of ministries live and die, never fulfill even the first phase of the ministry they're called to. Well, anyway, I didn't plan on getting into all that, but praise God. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Tell your neighbor, I'm learning something this morning. So this was emphasized in the charismatic revival, but the body of Christ today doesn't talk about all fivefold ministry offices anymore. Because if they do, then they're going to have to acknowledge that the prophet's office has got something to say, and he's always saying, this is wrong, this is right. Well, they don't want to be told that, their new doctrine they came up with. Amen. Brother Hagin got up in 2003 and said, you pride yourself in being word people and right and so. But he said, don't forget, you're also Holy Ghost people. Amen. Mixing the word and the spirit, letting the spirit move and demonstrate as he wants to. I'm sticking with that. Amen. I said, I'm sticking with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody still happy? Yes, so, I'm not trying to disparage anybody else. Amen. So the prophet's office is not just to prophesy, but he will speak the revelations that he has received from heaven. Now go over to the book of Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians 1, 11 and 12 says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I was referring to this, but let's just look at it. I want you to turn to just back a couple pages probably. This was Ephesians. I mean, we were just in Galatians. Excuse me. Now go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice what it says in verse number... let's start in verse number 1. It's expedient for me doubtless to glory. I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. Say caught up. What does that mean? That means he had a visitation from God. That means he went into the Spirit and was Jesus. Actually, he said if you read the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, Jesus appeared to him. Actually, a number of times Jesus appeared to him and revealed some things to him, taught him some things. You notice what he said there? I received it by revelation. Remember, we just read it in Galatians. Remember how he said that? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. By revelation, in other words, Jesus revealed the gospel to me himself. He got it by revelation. No man came and said, Paul, now let me explain the gospel to you. He got it by revelation. In other words, he's explaining that, he's describing the experience here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, I was caught up to the third heaven. Now notice what he said. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. See, he had an out of body experience. He was caught up and he had a visitation, he had a vision. And Jesus appeared and explained some things to him. Amen. Are you still with me? How that he was caught up, verse 4, caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful. That doesn't mean not permissible. If you look it up, it means it's hard to be uttered. In other words, you need the help of the Spirit to utter some things. That's why he said, pray for me that utterance would be given to me. Not lawful it's difficult for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmity. Though I would desire to glory, look, I want you to see something here. That's why I'm keeping reading. Though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. Let's go down here. Verse number 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the what? Revelations. There was given to me this messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. Okay, Paul's talking about how Jesus appeared to him, actually on several occasions. He's talking about one of them here, the main one, where Jesus explained all the gospel and in Christ and so forth. And appeared to him and taught him the gospel by revelation. Y'all still with me? I'm getting to something. Hold on very, if you don't mind, just hold on just a little bit. He received the gospel by revelation of Jesus Christ. He was caught up into a visitation and got revelation. Y'all still out there? Now, that's the office of the prophet. That's him operating in the office of the prophet. And bringing that back and preaching that everywhere he went. He wrote it in Ephesians. He wrote it in Galatians. He wrote it in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, Hebrews. He wrote it in all the 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. He wrote so much that Jesus had given to him. And it was marvelous and glorious. Yet right on the other hand, it came to him by revelation, not sitting at the feet of somebody else. Now, some people, they say, well, I don't want to sit at the feet of anybody else. I want to get it by revelation. The vast majority of the body of Christ is going to get it from somebody else. All of us. All of us are going to get something from somebody else. But a vast majority of us are going to get most everything from somebody else. Now, we always have, we have our Bible, we have the Holy Spirit in us to let us know if something's not right or not. Isn't that right? I'm not just saying just any old revelation some prophet claims to have, we should receive it. But you know that you know how safe it is here. Amen. Don't stutter on that. You should have been, that's right, Pastor, it's safe here. It is, it's safe here. I know it. Pastor Nancy knows it. She likes coming. Dr. Dufresne, first thing he said out of his mouth in this pulpit, first time he was here, this is a safe place. Amen. So, praise the Lord. I'm endeavoring to get some of this out. So, see, God sets people. Remember Ephesians chapter 4. God has set. He set this ministry in the body of Christ. It's one of the fivefold ministry offices given to the church. No man authorizes a prophet to function in the body of Christ. Whether man receives him or not, him or her, you know what I mean by that. He is authorized to be in the body and speak what he hears the Spirit saying. Once that is, one that is called and anointed to stand in that office is authorized by the head of the church to function in the prophet's room in the Spirit, and he doesn't need any man to function there. In fact, I'll be real honest with you, it probably operates behind closed doors more than it does in public services. Because of, and that's, you see that in the Bible, all through the Bible, prophets operating in private as much as in public. Amen. But when somebody's ministry is authored by the Spirit, he God authorizes them to operate in that and to stand in that office and function as a prophet or any of these offices. But we're emphasizing this one, preparing for camp meeting. So man did not call him. Man did not anointed him. And man did not authorize him to lay claim to that office. God authorized. Jesus, the head of the church, authorizes that. And whether men receive it or not doesn't determine whether they're walking in what God told them to do. Now, when I'm talking about man, this church does. But I'm talking about the body of Christ at large. I'm talking about the whole body. The reason Christians are spiritually deficient is they don't receive the offices that grow them up. That's what we read in Ephesians 4. Now, some receive the pastor and the teacher or maybe the evangelist, but these other ones, very few and far between. When it comes to the body of Christ as a whole. So, they're deficient in their doctrine. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'm not saying we have all our doctrine together, but we're keeping pace with what the revelation that's coming into the earth. We keep in pace whenever Brother Hagin stood up and said, the Lord revealed to me the authority of the believer and showed it to us in the Word. And we're like, uh-huh, I see that. I see that. I see that. I see that. I've got to accept it. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet gets the reward out of that. That's what I'm going for. How about you? I'm going for everything God has for me. And so, praise God. So that's what the prophet's office is. It's not just prophesying. It's bringing forth the message that Jesus or God revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. Now, when Pastor Nancy was in Russia, she had the visitation. This is one of them. She's had a number of them. She had the visitation where the Lord started talking to her about the price of the double portion anointing. What is that? That's her functioning in the office of the prophet. So she has come back and brought that message to us. Put it in a book. She's doing that with a lot of these the messages God's given to her. Put them in books. She just came out with one on worship. Ringy-dingy, get a hold of it. It's nothing new. It's right there. But we need to be fed that through these offices that are saying, this is what the Spirit's emphasizing. You do this and you'll get victory. Amen. Hallelujah. She was given the revelation of answer it. That's really not a new revelation, but it's just new light on a truth we've already received. Amen. And it takes us further. Amen. It's nothing that's not in the Word. We look at the Bible, it's right there the whole time. We're like, wow, I didn't see that. Exactly. That's why the Lord revealed to somebody and said, go teach this, go preach this. And she takes that message everywhere she goes and talks about answering it. Takes that message and talks about worship everywhere she goes. Takes that message and talks about the price of the double portion anointing wherever she goes.
Yes, sir.
And the word and spirit era and the move. These are things that God gave her in the office of the prophet. That's why she's saying it. We'll be blessed greatly for receiving it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And no prophet needs man's approval to go ahead and say what God's saying. Man doesn't authorize them to stand in that office. The anointing of Jesus authorizes them to stand in that office. Amen. Well, you getting anything out of that? And so Paul received revelation by being caught up in these visitations. And Jesus taught him in a vision. Paul taught Paul in a vision. As he operated in the prophet's office, he had these experiences. And it opened up the word to him. It opened up the truth to him. It brought him further into understanding of what the scriptures are saying. If you can't find it in the word, watch out. This is the era of word and spirit. Word and spirit. Notice word and spirit, not just spirit where we throw away the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Can't throw away the word. Amen. And so these revelations often come of the written word. It was written there the whole time, but we just didn't see it. You realize Jesus is the living word. Jesus himself is the living word. And guess what? He reveals the written word to us himself. Praise God. Now, in Ephesians Let's see here. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Let's go over there, Ephesians 3, 1 through 11. I want to be a mature Christian, don't you? That means I got to receive all these ministry offices. But Ephesians 3, 1 through 11, Paul said, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you word." Remember, recently we were talking about dispensation somewhere. Was that in the partner meeting? Somewhere we were talking about dispensation. It means stewardship. No, that was in a service. That was in a main church service. We were talking about stewardship. He said, the stewardship of the grace of God was given unto me. In other words, Jesus revealed the grace of God to him in these visitations, and he gave it to him as a steward, and here's what he was to do with it. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words." You go back to chapter number 1 and 2, you can find that. That's what that means before here, before this chapter. He wrote in Ephesians 1 and 2. "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Do you see that? Did you get that? Are you sure? He said that's these main offices that bring these revelations. Ah. "Wherefore I was made a minister," let's go back to verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister." Notice that. Here's why Jesus revealed this to him. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me," talking about that ministry grace and gift, "by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach." Why did he give it to him? "That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Amen. He revealed this message so he'd go preach it. Amen. Go tell people. Amen. Jesus sent Brother Hagin. Go teach my people faith. "I taught you faith through my word and through certain experiences. Now you go teach what I've taught you." Amen. Praise the Lord. God doesn't just give it to us to keep to ourselves. He gives it to us to preach. In verse 9, verse 9, "to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery," to make all men see, "that I should preach among the Gentiles," verse number 8, "to make all men see," verse number 9. Ministers are called and anointed to help you see. I see many things that I wouldn't have seen if I hadn't have been connected to the right ministers. Now, that's not the only way God reveals things. He talks to us all and reveals things, but a vast majority of the things we learn somebody else that God taught to them, who probably got it from somebody else. I claim very few original revelations. There are a few. I've begun to submit them to some seasoned people in the body before I preach them too much. Amen.
Amen.
One of them is the authority of the believer at the throne of grace.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about the authority of the believer over the devil? No. I'm talking about the rights and the standing you have at the throne of grace. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I haven't got half of it out yet. But very few original revelations. We get things from other people. We need the body. We need everybody in the body of Christ. We need everybody that's out there, don't we? All right. Verse 9. "To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Put that all together. He said, he revealed this to me to make it known so that the whole church could make it known to all the forces of darkness. Yeah. Jesus won.
Yeah.
And you're under our feet. I'm anointed to preach it, Paul said, to make the body of Christ see it so that the whole church, look at verse number 11, verse number 10, "to the intent," this was the intent, "that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places," that's the forces of darkness, "might be known by the church." The church might make known to the forces of darkness, you are under our feet.
Amen.
Paul said, God revealed it to me so I could preach it to the church, so the church could demonstrate victory everywhere they went over the forces of darkness. Amen. Make it known, make it known, make it known. Yeah. Tread them down. The forces of darkness, tread them down. Praise God. So in this experience, Paul is saying here, Jesus made me a minister. Do you see that? Whereof I was made a minister in verse number 7. And anointed him that he should go preach this revelation and to make all men see. Amen. Now, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:7, he said, because of the abundance of the revelation, Satan was opposing me. He wasn't opposing Paul per se. He was opposing the revelation. Because he was only opposing Paul because of the revelation. Spiritual warfare is over the revelation. That's why some of you are going to have stuff come up this week, try to keep you from coming. Learn to tread it down. Spiritual battles are over revelation. Tread them down. I said tread them down. Just tell them, you go tribulate on your own, I'm going to church. Praise the Lord. So whenever a prophet speaks, he's not just teaching just something that he saw in the Word, although it's in the Word. But he's teaching and being directed by the Spirit. Emphasize this. Does that make sense? Emphasize this. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the understanding this. It's changed my life. The Lord said to me one time, he said, preach the revelations and the visions you've had. Amen. Praise God. Does that make more sense now? That's what we're talking about right here. And the Lord said another time years ago, he said, preach and teach what I'm emphasizing to you in the Spirit. And he said, when you do, you'll have a greater anointing. Because you know, if you just teach something you want to say, the Lord's not obligated to anoint you as much as what's the Spirit saying. What's He telling you to say? What's He saying to emphasize? Amen. And that's the way all ministers should minister. Does that make sense? Now, there's the book of Ephesians says here in the 3rd chapter, notice verse number 9, we were just reading this, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Notice here, he said that some things had been hidden in God until the time came for God to reveal it. We're at a time again. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, there's a passage in there that talks about the books having a seal on them. Remember that? And he said there's only one worthy to unseal the book. There's some things sealed up until the time of the end, because that's what that prophecy said. Seal it up until the time of the end. Daniel talks about a book that was sealed up, something that was revealed to him. Said, don't talk about it because it's going to be revealed in the end times. There are things in God that are held for certain eras. And that's what God is using prophets today to unseal. Now, Jesus is the head of the ministries, and he's giving it to them. Without Jesus giving it, it won't be unsealed. But whenever it comes to these ministry offices, and they stand up and say, the Lord spoke to me, like Pastor Nancy, I'm thinking, I just saw her book came out on worship. I guess that's why I'm thinking about it. But the Lord said, God spoke to her and said, that ministry that Norval Hayes had about worship, that angel appeared to her and said, pick that up, giving you some of the utterance for that. Well, see, the Lord doesn't want that lost. And so things like that, whenever somebody is sent with a message like that, that's what we ought to emphasize. Emphasize what the Spirit is emphasizing. I don't know if I'm making sense to you, if you're getting it or not. Hallelujah. But there are things sealed up until the end times. And we're in another one of those times where it's time for some things to be unveiled. Not something that's in addition to the Word, that's hogwash. That's baloney. But something that's been in there the whole time. Amen. God needs men of the Spirit actually, prophets spend a lot of time in solitude, and that's where they get these revelations. You'll find over in the book of Revelation, John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was there as an exile. He was out of fellowship, or not out of fellowship, but out of contact with general society. And he had a lot of time to himself. And God took advantage of that solitude, say solitude, to reveal the whole book of Revelation to him. Woo, glory to God. Whenever God took Moses, a prophet, into the revelation of the law, the Ten Commandments, he took him up on a mountain for 40 days into solitude to get him separated from all these other voices. So he came back from the realm of the Spirit and was speaking only for the Spirit of God. Not what this guy's saying, that guy's saying, Dr. So-and-so says, and so forth and so on. But what's the Spirit saying? God did the same thing to Elijah on Mount Horeb for 40 days. John the Baptist was a prophet. He spent a lot of time in the wilderness all by himself. And he was a voice of one cry. He was not an echo echoing what somebody else was saying. He came out as a voice. He got a message from heaven and he came out, thus saith the Lord, prepare ye the way, the Messiah is here. Praise God. People were like, what? What's going on? Who's this? You know, what's? And they started coming out to his meetings. Hallelujah. And that's what Pastor Nancy was ministering to me on May 5th, 2018 in St. Petersburg, Russia. Do you remember? I'm just having fun with you. She said, doors, larger openings to large rooms of revelation. Revelation that is necessary. These rooms have reserve signs on the doors. These rooms of revelation have reserve signs on the doors, for they're reserved for the last day era. No one else, previous generation, could access these rooms because they were assigned for these last days in this era. You're invited in. You're invited in. As far as you go into that room is determined by you, not by the Father. Because He's opened the door to you, now go in and access as much of it as you have faith for. Hallelujah. That's what we're preaching to you this morning about further revelation. It's not outside of the Word. I got to keep saying that. People get off on the, but it's just something that's been there the whole time. How many of you know Pastor Nancy coming with the message of worship? That's not outside the Word. That's just mainstream, been there the whole time. We all have heard it before. But it comes with a fresh insight, a fresh anointing. It comes with an utterance of the Spirit to put it in deeper. Hallelujah. We know where to study the Word. The Bible teaches meditating on the Word, studying the Word. But these things don't come through study. These revelations come by inspiration of the moment, an experience of being caught up in Jesus revealing things. We need to covet that. That is being opposed in this day. It's being opposed by people yielding to the wrong spirit. It's being opposed by the devil. But we're going to have it all. Tell your neighbor, we ain't doing without a bit of it. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. And so we won't take the time to talk much more about the solitude part, but let me wrap it up by talking about the inspiration and utterance that this office is to have. And I believe we'll have this week. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the prophet speaks as a voice. He speaks for God. To prophesy means to speak for another. That could take on two different forms. It could mean just simply reporting what the Spirit is saying to our spirits about the moving of the Spirit in this era. Or it could include prophesying. I want to see both of those this week. Because the speakers have had things revealed to them by just their time of fellowship with God. And the Spirit says now and starts dealing with them about something. Or, just during the service, they could get over into the Spirit and start prophesying some things and get revelation right in the service. One's just reporting what the Spirit had previously said, and the other one is just under inspiration of the gift of prophecy at the moment. Does that make sense? I want both of them. I want both of them. I want to get into all that God has for us. Hallelujah. And so there's so much here. Let's just wrap it up with a few other things. When the Lord said these things will be opposed, we need to take that to heart. We need to pray for those that stand in these higher offices. Amen. He needs people to be bold. And when these things start coming, these revelations start coming, Satan opposes that. And if people aren't careful, they're tempted to draw back from because they start putting two and two together. When the revelations come, it's opposed. Okay, I'm going to back out of the revelations. No, we need them to be bold. I said we need them to be bold. I was in several services where Brother Hagin was talking it over with the Lord about just going ahead and going home. That's not fun. I said, that's not fun because of all that's coming against him in the spirit realm. Lord, just let me come on home. The Lord wouldn't let him. At that time, the Lord wouldn't let him. We don't want these ministers to be opposed and stand there on their own. Standing against the forces of darkness where they're Lord, just let me let me back out and just be a teacher. Let me back out and just have a different kind of ministry, which isn't opposed so much. We don't want that. We want to be right up there with them, keeping these forces of darkness off of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So did you get anything out of that this morning? If you didn't, well, go listen to it again. Hallelujah. To a degree at least, each of the fivefold ministry offices should teach and preach under inspired utterance. You understand? Because in the New Testament, they each have an anointing upon them to teach and preach. But the main difference with the prophet's office is the revelation that's involved. The revelation. And we've said that a number of times. So praise God for what's coming in camp meeting. Are you ready to receive what's coming in camp meeting? I mean, our answers are coming in camp meeting. Answers that God gave these ministers by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we're going to receive that. Remember, we started out with Matthew 10. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet has a prophet's reward. So we receive these ministries. We receive whenever they say, the Lord dealt with me to go this direction. We receive that. Well, I wanted this or I wanted that. What? Just receive what's coming. And guess what? Before the end of the service, it'll boom, there's your answer.